right? People will say, you know, how do I get on a podcast? Well, that's easy, right? There's 400,000 of them. What people really want is, how do I achieve my goal? How do I grow my business? How do I grow my brand? How do I get more SEO? How do I get physical speaking stages? When you set that goal, then you can back into it and say, well, how could I use podcast interviews for that? And one of the first things that I think everybody should think of is, who do you want to talk to, right? Start with the audience, right? There's a lot of people out there, right? There's nice people and nice customers, right? And so you just don't want to go on any podcast. You want to go on one that has your ideal audience, right? And bigger is not better. Better is better.
You're listening to the Real Business Connections Network.
Real Business Connections Network.
Powered by Balbert Marketing, LLC. Subscribe now and check us out at realbusinessconnections.com.
Enjoy the show.
Welcome everyone to Learn, Speak, Teach, powered by Balbert Marketing, LLC. If you love to learn, be inspired, and succeed, we're here to speak and teach. I'm your host, Ben Albert. I believe if you're not living, you're dying. If you're not growing, you're withering. And if you're not engaged, you can turn this off right now. Because we here at LST are lifelong learners. And listen, I'm not your guru. I'm an ordinary guy on a journey to learn from the experts. My goal is to host each conversation with a beginner's mindset, learn, and let the experts speak and teach their truths. Join us! Oh yeah, and don't forget to subscribe. This episode is brought to you completely free. Get some stake in the game here. My fee for the show only takes a few moments. If you gain value from the episode, personally share with a friend and explain your favorite part. Bonus points. Please leave us a review on Apple, Google Podcasts, or anywhere you listen to the show. All right, let's get started. Welcome everyone to Learn, Speak, Teach on the Real Business Connections Network. I am here today with Tom Schwab. Tom, what's up, man? How are you?
Ben, I am thrilled to be here. And thank you for sharing our conversation with the world.
Dude, I'm excited for it. You're an author, a speaker, a teacher, a podcast interview marketing pioneer. You're the chief evangelist officer at Interview of LA, where you're helping brands, businesses, and inspiring thought leaders reach their ideal customers. And correct me if I'm wrong, you've guested on over 1,000 podcasts yourself.
I have started back in 2013, so a lot of time in front of the microphone, but still don't have my own podcast.
Still, and that's quite all right, because a lot of the listeners, they ask me, should I start a podcast? And a lot of times I say, maybe not quite yet. Maybe you should guest on podcast first, get a feel for it. So that's like 100 a year or something, isn't it?
Early on, I was probably doing more than that. As we've figured out the system, a lot of it early on was just to get data points, what worked, what didn't. And as we've refined that and gotten better results from every podcast interview, we're able to see which ones, this one will move the needle, this one won't. But it's great. To me, writing a blog is a homework assignment, right? I'll find anything to do. But being on a podcast, talking is so much easier. And, you know, my hat's off to you for being a host, because there's a lot of work that goes into being a podcast host. I look at it as a guest. You leverage other people's audiences, other people's stage to get the maximum return on investment there.
Yeah, and I'm excited to dive deep into that, because I know personally you're going to be preaching to the choir, but I'm here, beginner's mindset, let Tom talk it through. Because I personally am put myself on a podcast tour where I'm going to guest on over 50 shows this year. And I am personally, I can be a testimonial for the benefits of it. Let's walk through that. Why would someone take, you know, an hour a week, 50 plus hours in their year just to be sitting in a chair talking to strangers on podcasts? What is the true value there, Tom?
Well, I believe today that everyone's biggest problem is obscurity, right? There's thousands, tens of thousands of people you could help right now with your current product or service, right? They would gladly give you money for it. In fact, they're probably praying right now for your solution. There's only one problem. They don't know you exist, right? Obscurity is the biggest problem. And a lot of people are out there saying, well, just break through the noise. Let's be honest, right? The people that are telling us to break through the noise are the ones that are selling us the megaphones, right? We're all yelling louder and nobody's getting heard. So to me, the best way to get heard is to get introduced, to get in on the conversation that people are already listening to. And really, that's what we're doing on podcast interviews. And throughout time, people have done this, right? 50 years ago, you'd get introduced at, you know, the Elks Club, the Lions Club, whatever it is, the Chamber of Commerce, and you would get instant credibility because you were the speaker there. Maybe you'd have to get a membership to a country club so people would introduce you to other ideal clients. Fast forward, you know, people were doing that on television as seen on TV, or even, you know, 25 years ago, guest blogging was all the thing, right? How can you get in front of somebody else's audience, get that know, like, trust, that credibility, the backlinks that come back from it? And so about 8 years ago, we started to test this and say, could you use podcast interviews the same way, right? To go out there to get seen, get the exposure, get that know, like, and trust. And it's worked great, especially COVID and now post-COVID, right? I can remember the days where I would jump on a plane and spend 3 days to go talk to, you know, 200 ideal customers, right? Now you think about it, here we are talking, it's going to take 45 minutes. There's no travel involved. And, you know, you'll reach thousands of people, tens of thousands throughout time, right? And I would argue that how you can repurpose this, how you can promote this is so much more powerful than even going and doing a live speech.
And you think it's only just begun?
I do. I think we're still at the beginning phase. Right now, you'll hear the number put around that, oh, there's 2.5 million podcasts. Well, that's true, but there's less than 400,000 that have actually published in the last 30 days. Especially over COVID, there were a lot of shows that came on because the barrier to entry is so low, but keeping them going was a struggle, right? So if you look at that and say, you know, 400,000 podcasts in the world, that's not a whole lot, right? And there's always room for another great podcast. You know, you think of how many blogs there are out there, how many, you know, YouTube channels there are. I think we're still in the early days of podcasting, but what I think we're seeing is it's starting to shift, right? I asked my two youngest daughters a while back, what's the pod stand for in podcasting? And they, you know, looked at me and said, I don't know. What does it stand for? Because they don't remember a world with iPods, right? That's where it came from.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. 2004 was the first podcast. So now it's starting to morph, right? YouTube is one of the biggest search engines for podcasts right now. SiriusXM has bought podcast networks so that they can repurpose that content, put it out there. So it's that question of, you know, well, the video's on here. Is that still a podcast? Sure. You see it on YouTube. Is it still a podcast? Sure. You hear it on SiriusXM. I don't care what you call it, right? It's a great way and a scalable way to get your message out there to your ideal audience.
It's interesting. The lines are blurred. I never imagined 10 years ago that Spotify would have video podcasts. 4 hour long Joe Rogan video. It just doesn't make any sense. It was a music platform, but everyone's producing and playing podcasts now, huh?
They are. And it's interesting how you can look at different mediums and say where this medium went, I think is where podcasts will go. So, you know, people, I remember saying something about Joe Rogan that he figured out how to do a video podcast and people will watch that. And I'm like, well, I think you can probably go back and, you know, say Howard Stern back in the day, right? Here's a guy that had a radio show and he would film it. And I think that was probably in the 80s and 90s. He would put it up on late night television and people would watch that. You know, it's interesting. A couple of years ago, I spoke at an event at Harvard, and one of the keynotes was they did a corollary between radio and podcasting. And I remember the keynote talked about in 1920, radio was called wireless telegraph. And by 1930, it was radio, right? And so beginning of this decade, it was still podcast. Now that it's got video and so many different ways, I wish I knew what they were going to call it by the end of the decade. If I knew that, I would be buying domains right now. Mm. But I think we're really starting to see it morph. But it's been around now 18 years, continues to grow. I don't think this is going to be like, you know, a Clubhouse where it goes up and goes down really quick. People have shown that they like to watch, they like to listen, they like to get in on the conversation. And it's definitely a format that I think we can see is getting better and getting more powerful.
More and more powerful. I know I'm addicted. I'm a podcast addict. So I'll wave the flag for podcast to the moon. We dove right in, Tom. I want to slow down to speed up. So where did you learn some of this from? I mean, if I remember correctly, you're an engineer by background. So you weren't like, you know, the communications PR student, you know, social butterfly. Maybe you were, but walk us a little bit through where you were well before you started Interview Valet and what led you to some of these realizations and kind of why you're passionate about what you do.
Yeah. And for me, the whole world is evolution, not revolution, right? We learn something and we move on from that. So I'm an engineer by degree. I graduated from the U.S. Naval Academy. My first job out of college was running nuclear power plants on an aircraft carrier. And people are like, how does that go into what you're doing now? And I'm like, it's all systems, right? If you can do a reproducible system, you can get the results every time. So I started as an engineer. Then I went out and worked in corporate America, then went out in sales and marketing for a Fortune 100 medical device company. And that's where I really cut my teeth on sales and marketing. But at that point, I had one real customer, right? The manufacturer was the only one we could sell. And in 2008, they went direct and they bought us back, bought us out. But we had a little sideline product. It was direct-to-patient durable medical equipment. At Inbound 2008, it was voted the number two most unsexy thing to sell online, right? We were behind. We lost out to industrial lubricants. But we had this sideline business, and we were doing well with it in Michigan. I knew that we could expand that, but in 2008, there was no way I was going to go old school brick and mortar, right? In the middle of the recession. So I'd read a book by two smart guys out of MIT, Brian Halligan and Dharmesh Saw, who went on to form HubSpot. So my last company was HubSpot's first e-commerce case study. We built that company up, we sold it off. And after that, I started to think, I bet you could leverage podcast interviews almost the same way we used to leverage blogs, right? Guest blogs. And so we started to test that. I wrote a cheesy little book on it and gave it away. I was showing people how to do it. And then in about 2015, quite a few of the people just said, hey, I just want to be the guest. Let me be the guest. You take care of the rest. Mm. And I'm like, oh, that's good copy. Right. So we beta tested it. It worked so well that we launched that. And for the first few years, I thought we are way, way too early, because I'd tell people what we did and they'd go, what's a podcast? But about 2019, when podcasting really took off, we had the foundation, we had the team, we had the systems, and it's been continued growth through there, and really excited for the growth we've had, but also the growth we've brought to the industry and different things that we have brought that helps the podcast host, the podcast guest, and, you know, the entire ecosystem.
Love it. Love it. And we'll get into tangible some how-tos in a moment. I love what you just said. People didn't even really know what a podcast was, and they still don't today. I try to frame it as, you know, how would you like to keynote, you know, for an audience of 100, 1,000, 5,000 plus, and the retention rate's 80%, but you don't even have to leave your house to do it, and you don't have to do any prep.
And it's not a, it's not so much about the podcast, right? Mm. It's just a medium, right? And I love how you frame that. It's a stage, right? Whether or not it's a physical stage, a digital stage. And like you said, 80% retention. If I was speaking on a live stage right now, how many people would be multitasking? How many people would get a call from their kids and have to walk out? How many people would take a bathroom break right at the beginning of my talk and miss it, right? Whereas when you're on a podcast, they can pause it. They can share it. They can listen to it at whatever speed they want. You know, our mission is to personally introduce inspiring thought leaders to millions of people they could serve for the betterment of all. My mom, God love her, she's in her 80s. She's like, what's that have to do with podcast interviews? And I'm like, Mom, it's not about the podcast, right? It's about the medium and connecting people. And I think, you know, there's a lot of problems in the world today, but there is no better time to be alive, right? With the opportunities we have, the technology.
Endless opportunities and technology. I couldn't agree more, Tom. You had mentioned, you know, engineer background. You create a process that works, then it's duplicatable, it's reproducible. Obviously, the listener always has the option of just reaching out to you and having you do it all for them. But if they're a go-getter and maybe they haven't even guested on a podcast at all yet, so they don't want to dive in full time yet, but they're like, what do I do? Is there any simple steps or, you know, I'm going to pull out my pencil here. We should take notes. Is there any simple steps that we could do to start guesting on podcasts as an entrepreneur or a thought leader?
There are. And I'm not here to like to sell my services.
Right.
I'm here to help people get results with this, because when they get results, they're also helping people. And I explained this so many times that I finally wrote a book on it.
Cool.
And I'm not selling the book either. If you want a free copy of it, I'll happily give you and mail you a free copy. But we put it all down in podcast guest profits, how to grow your business with a targeted interview strategy. And it really is a strategy, right? It's not, the goal is not to get on podcasts, right? People will say, you know, how do I get on a podcast? Well, that's easy, right? There's 400,000 of them. What people really want is, how do I achieve my goal? How do I grow my business? How do I grow my brand? How do I get more SEO? How do I get physical speaking stages? When you set that goal, then you can back into it and say, well, how could I use podcast interviews for that? And one of the first things that I think everybody should think of is, who do you want to talk to, right? Start with the audience, right? There's a lot of people out there, right? There's nice people and nice customers, right? And so you just don't want to go on any podcast. You want to go on one that has your ideal audience, right? And bigger is not better. Better is better, right? So if you've got a, if you're a marketing consultant, there could be a great podcast for first-time mothers. I mean, it's huge, millions of people, but they wouldn't be interested in you. And even if you got on there, your customers are not there, right? There's more fish in the ocean than there are in a barrel, but find where that barrel is. And we really look at four things. We look at the podcast itself, right? One of the things you can see is that often the audience is like the host or aspires to be like the host. You look at the website, right? Do they have show notes? Do they have backlinks? Because that's going to help you. And discoverability is still a tough problem. The third thing we look at is reach, right? What's the estimated downloads? How much are they promoting this on social media? Are they promoting it to an email list? And then finally, look at brand affinity, right? We are judged by the company we keep. So if you're selling to an affluent audience or a mature audience or a conservative audience, Well, don't go on a podcast. It's the opposite of that, mm-hmm. right? You could have a deal and, I can think of one client we worked with. They were getting ready to do an IPO and, you know, you do the IPO roadshow, and they were going out on podcasts. And we always do a walkthrough interview with all of our clients. And we were on there and he said, "Hey, my assistant just told me that I should be on the Joe Rogan show." And I'm like, "I would never put you on the Rogan show." And he's like, "Why's that?" And I told him what happened the week before, that, you know, Elon Musk was on there. And all of a sudden, you know, no judgment. It's legal in California, right? Mm-hmm. Got passed something. He smoked it. And it affected the stock. And the CEO goes, "That's why you're picking podcasts for me and my assistants not," right? He's like, that would get me fired as CEO just before an IPO. Fine. A very conservative company there. So looking at there and just saying, you know, would I be proud if everybody saw me on this podcast? Mm. Would my ideal listeners listen to this podcast? You know, another client came to us and said, I want to talk with Fortune 500 C-suite. I said, "Yeah, I can definitely do that." And he says, I want to be on this podcast. And I was familiar with the podcast. I'm like, "That's a great show. But do you really think that Fortune 500 C-level executives listen to a podcast that starts out with, 'Yo, yo, yo, this is'? Probably not. You know, it's a great podcast, but not one for you." So I would say, start with who your, you know, what podcasts your ideal customers are listening to, and then think relationships, not transactions, right? We've had people come to us, and I remember one said, "I want to be on 100 interviews this week," or I'm sorry, this month. I'm like, "Well, why?" "Because it'll be massive exposure." It's like, that's almost like, in my mind, thinking, you know, I want to go to 100 five-star restaurants this year or this month, right? Will you really enjoy it? Or, you know, I'm looking for a spouse to get married, so I'm going to go on 100 blind dates this month, right? More is not better. Better is better. So I like your idea there of saying, "Hey, my goal is 50 interviews this year," right? One a week. Learn from each one. And let me give you a little tip here. If you want to figure out how to get on podcasts, get on one podcast, do a really, really good job. Your job when you show up is to make the host look like a genius for introducing you. And then at the end of the show, if it goes well, after they turn it off, thank them and just say, "Hey, you know, I'd like to get on more podcasts. Do you know of any other podcasters or shows that you think I could add value to?" Podcast hosts know podcast hosts, right? Mm-hmm. And think, if they give you two names or two introductions, and that happens on every podcast, it takes about a month or two and your dance card is filled.
Love it. And I know this to be true because I'm the first person, Tom, to give introductions, nominations, recommendations. It's great talking about the relationship game. The more of those introductions I give, the more goodwill comes back to me. And you kind of just tapped into like a secret sauce in the podcast industry. I feel like a lot of people know each other and a lot of people are genuinely supportive and care about each other. Like, I'm not competing to be the best podcast in the world. That honestly doesn't matter. I want to make impact one conversation at a time. And I have a lot of podcasters in my network that are making that impact. So why wouldn't we continue to spread the love and make those introductions? I still want to get tactical here. So I haven't been on a podcast yet, and I haven't asked for any recommendations of shows to be on. Are there any tools that you recommend that I can do some of that research, so I'm not, you know, a C-suite executive coming on a podcast where they're like, "Yo, yo, yo, Ben Albert here." You know, how do I do that research? Do I just do a Google search, or what do you recommend?
Sometimes it's going down a rabbit hole, and there's a lot of different databases out there. Some are free, some are paid. The numbers on them vary. I wouldn't say that all of the data that's out there is accurate, right? Everybody's got a top 10 podcast. I don't know what they're listening to, but everybody claims that. Mm-hmm. And once again, bigger is not better. Better is better. So one of the things to start with is, you know, your customers. Ask your customers what podcast they listen to and start that rabbit hole there. Or if you want to talk to, construction, construction owners, what podcast do they listen to? Just Google best podcasts for, service-based industries or, mm-hmm. or construction podcasts, something like that, and start looking through those. The other thing is even in something like Apple, right, or Chartable, you can find one podcast and it will tell you other podcasts that are like this, mm. right? And so you start to go down the rabbit hole there and just start to say, okay, well, we'll have people that say, well, I want to be on Gary Vaynerchuk's podcast, right? Well, no, you don't. Really, you want to talk to Gary Vaynerchuk's audience, right? Mm-hmm. If he didn't have an audience, you wouldn't want to be on his podcast. So the chances of you getting on his show today are probably slim to none, unless you know him, right? But let's find out where his audience is, right? What other podcasts are like that? And start with ones that are more approachable on there. People will say, well, that's not scalable. Can't I just buy a list? I'll buy a list and I'll email everyone, right? Be careful with that. I get pitched to be on my podcast about 3 to 4 times a day. Every email starts the same way. Dear Tom, we love your show and want to be a guest, right? Remember, I said, I don't have a podcast, right? So the robo emails, they don't work. They become laughable. You will mess up your domain really quickly with a spam score on that. So be very, very careful of just buying lists or buying, random guides on there. The other one that I like is there's always the courses out there that the perfect pitch to get on any podcast, what the perfect pitch that has been used by movie stars, politicians, Olympians. This is the perfect pitch they use to get on every show. And here it is. Bring out the pencil for this one. Can I be on your show? Right? That's the pitch they use. And people will come back and say, well, that won't work for me. Bingo. Because you don't have the relationship, right? Mm-hmm. If you had a relationship with them, if you had value to bring with them that they knew you already, that pitch would work. Mm-hmm. So focus more on how can you build that relationship, right? So if you wanted to be on a show, right? Build that relationship first. Don't give them just a blind mm-hmm. email, right? Listen to the podcast. Leave a rating and review. Right? We're all vain, right? We all listen for our own name. If you leave a rating and review for a host, they will see it, right? Yes. And then follow them on social media, make a comment, promote the episode. Vaynerchuk talks about jab, 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 right hook. I look at it as give, 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 ask, right? Mm. So listen to the podcast, leave a rating and review, share the content. Then you can reach out to them and say, Ben, I've been listening to the podcast. I really like this. That guest Tom, he was a little bit different, but I've got value here that I think I could offer your audience, right? I think I could share this. You keep giving like that, the host will ask you to be on there, mm-hmm. right? And it's that difference between a relationship and a transaction. If I reach out to you and say, Ben, I've got a new book on, how to prune roses, and I want to be on your podcast to use and abuse your audience. That's what most of them sound like, right? Yeah. They've never listened to the podcast. They don't connect with them. And it's all about what's in it for me, right? And like I said, we teach all of our clients, your goal on a podcast is to make the host look like a genius for being there. If you do that, that host will promote you better than you could ever do yourself.
Drop the mic. I love it. So For me, I'm in emphatic agreement. I love the process. Reach out, leave a review, send them a personalized message, share the show, maybe start engaging on their social media, provide value to their audience, come with intention. Now, a lot of people are thinking, well, that seems like a lot of work. What would you say to someone who's like, well, I don't want to put in the hour or some to listen to it and then craft the review? Like, what do you say to someone who's just thinking, this seems like a lot of work and I don't have the time to do all this stuff, Tom?
Well, I've had people come back and they'll say, you know, you put out this whole process there. Do I have to do that entire process? I look at them and say, you're a grown man, you're a grown woman, right? You don't have to do anything. But all I know is that this recipe, this formula works. So if you want to build a car and leave out the transmission, God love you. It's your car. You can do that, right? If you want to bake a cake and leave out the baking soda, baking powder, whatever it is, let me know how it works, right? I know the system works there. And at the end of the day, I would ask them, are you just trying to get on podcast interviews? Because if it's just a transaction, just do the spray and pray, right? Mm-hmm. Do the speed dating, right? But if you're trying to grow your brand, grow your business, then you got to put the work behind it too, right? If it was easy, everyone would do it and it wouldn't work, right? Sometimes it's just that standing out to do it. And if you don't have the time to do that, well, you can hire someone to do that. You can figure out the system yourself and then delegate that to someone else. Mm. But you know, when people say, well, I don't have the time and I don't have the money, well, then you should probably go back, because that's the two things that you need to do to grow a business. If you don't have either one of those, you're probably going to have a problem.
Don't have the time. I don't have the money. You're not going to get the results. Mm-hmm. That simple. One more thing, because I wrote this down and I wrote this down before July 4th weekend. So I need a refresher myself. I was listening to you on another episode and I wrote down message market machine. Can we walk through what that means, message market machine?
Yes. Early on, I was trying to figure out, why do some people get good results on podcast interviews? Some people get great results, and then some people, you know, get lousy results. And so we started about 2015, and I'm a data guy, right? We keep notes on everything. Every year I do a report of the state of podcast interview marketing. Mm. And so I looked at it and said, well, what's the common themes that predict this? And I really looked at it and said, there's three things. There's message, market, and machine. And all three of those multiply on themselves. So if one is weak, the whole result will be weak. And every time before we talk with a potential client, we ask them questions because we want to assess that. And we'll tell them, go back and improve this so you can get improve your results. But the message is really, do you have stories to tell, not just a product to sell, right? Podcasts are an awful place for an infomercial, right? If you're just there to sell, it will not work. And dirty little secret, there's a lot of podcast recordings that mysteriously get lost because the guest becomes, you know, just doing an infomercial. Right. So make sure you got stories, the message there.
Yeah.
The next one is the market. Do you know who you want to talk to? And do you have something that can help them? So the people that came to us and said, I want to talk to everyone. Well, not everyone wants to hear you, right? Content is king, but context is God. So get very, very specific. The other thing with the market there too is, how are you going to help them, right? If it's just going on for your ego, it's not going to convert. But if you've got different ways to help them, you know, a book, a product, a service, that will move them along. The final one is the machine, right? Riches are in the niches, but it takes a machine to get it out. So you've got to have a system, a process to move people from being a passive listener to an active visitor and engaged lead. And I'll give you a hint on here too. You need the machine of a website and social media that at least builds trust, right? If a host or a guest goes to your website and it looks like it was built in Y2K, and you go to your social media and it looks like you're in the witness protection plan, you probably won't get invited on the podcast. And even if you do, somebody's going to hear your interview, look you up online and go, yeah, I don't think they're the expert that I thought they were. So the message market machine. And as I went through that, just think about it in your own head. How would I score on that? And what could I do before I even get on podcast interviews to improve that?
I love that, guys. Take notes, message market machine, score yourself 0 to 10. Let's be brutal. It's a really good point. Someone listened to you on an episode. They dove in, they learned a lot, they looked you up online. You're taking them through this long form sales cycle and they're doing it all on their own. They're not part of your email list, any of that. They love to learn about you and then they go on 404 error and then they've got some black screen of death because your website hasn't been updated in 15 years. That's nerve wracking and you just lost business because you didn't have the machine put together properly.
Yeah, often we'll hear people say, well, I've done a lot of interviews and podcast interview doesn't work. I'm like, well, did you work the system or did you just try your own thing? Right? Because I can tell you podcast interview marketing works, but then we'll start to listen to it. And it's like, you had no call to action. You had no place to send people. You know, remember, most people are multitasking while they're listening to a podcast, you know, and if you tell them, you know, call me on this phone number, go to this Twitter, this Instagram, you're just going to confuse them. And our data has even shown, and this is heresy in digital marketing, right? Every digital marketer knows that you're supposed to have one call to action. Well, in podcast interviews, we've tested this over and over, is three calls to action. Meet them where they are. Give them a small yes, a medium yes, and a heck yes, right? And I'll give you an example. So like for me, often the small yes will be, there's a infographic, right? 9 secrets to getting booked on your first podcast interview, right? It's a quick win, doesn't take a lot of time. The medium one is typically just giving away a free copy of the book, right? Even though it's free, it's an investment of someone's time and money to do that. And then for me, you got the small yes, the medium yes, the heck yes, is always, if this makes any sense to you, right? If you want to talk about how you could use this in your business, you know, just come back to this webpage and I'll put my calendar and all my social media there, right? So if they listen to this and like, oh, I want to go, right? Whales don't click and big fish don't swim through funnels, right? If they're ready to go, give them a way to do it.
Say that again.
Yeah, that actually comes from a book called Clicksand, How Digital Marketing is Ruining Your Business by Bill Troy. Came out quite a few years ago. I think he was ahead of his time with that. But he said, whales don't click and big fish don't swim through funnels. So if you're trying to sell, you know, the a 5-figure, a 6-figure deal, heck, even a $10,000 deal, do you really think that somebody is going to click on your $7 clickbait, right? If you're talking to a CEO, is he really going to download that that free report, or is he just going to want his staff to jump on the phone with you?
Right. And he's going to buy from someone he knows, likes, trusts, has a relationship with, and has confidence that they can deliver.
Exactly. And if they get to the end of the podcast, they love you, because if not, they would have turned you off.
So before we close with rapid fire, you mentioned you guys put out a report every year talking a little bit about the data and the analytics. Where would I get that podcasting roundup report?
You know, I'll put that on that page too. So for every podcast interview, best practice is to make one welcome page, right? It's not a landing page. It's not a squeeze page, but this is evergreen content. So if somebody's listening to this 2 years from now, just don't send them to the homepage, right? So I'll just put this at interviewvalet.com/real business. And I'll put the report there, the newest year's version there. I'll put that 9 secrets to get on your first podcast interview, the book, and then my calendar scheduling link all there.
All in one spot. I love it. And that's in the show notes, guys, but interviewvalet.com/real business. Easy peasy. I want to get you out relatively on time. I wish I could spend another 45 with you. We'll go rapid fire. It's like, whose line is it anyway, that the points do not matter, but Family Feud, that we're going to go rapid fire. Best answer wins, but it's completely subjective. So you can choose whatever you want, or you can fill in the blank, cross it out, just say pass, up to you. Coffee or tea?
Coffee, but decaf is an abomination to nature.
I love it. Beer or wine?
Yes, both.
Cats or dogs?
Definitely dogs.
iOS or Android?
iOS. I'm a Mac boy.
Give us a purchase of $100 or less that has massively impacted your career.
Professional microphone. You get it for under $100 and you'll sound as good as the host.
Do you have a recommended microphone?
Yes, the one we provide all of our clients is the same one I use when I'm on the road. It's ATR 2005. Sounds almost as good as the $400 mic I've got in my desk.
Awesome. So it's like an Audio Technica?
Yes, Audio Technica 2005.
Sweet. We'll do one more. If you had a magic wand and could change one thing in the podcasting industry, what would you wave that wand and change?
I would make download numbers unavailable, because I think too many people focus on the numbers and it's a vanity metric. Mm. Bigger's not better, better is better. And I think that's from hosts and guests.
I really need to get that on the wall. Bigger is not better. Better is better. Because that's been a reoccurring message today. I couldn't agree more, Tom. Tell us one more time. We've got a one page. All this is going to be on one page, correct?
Correct. And if you want to see how to make a welcome page, just go there and copy it, right? I want people to learn how to do this. So it's got the navigation and everything. So just go to interviewvalet.com/real business. You can learn how to make a welcome page for your next interview. We'll have the 9 secrets to get on your first one, copy of the book, my calendar scheduling link, and that annual report we do on the state of podcast interview marketing.
Love it, Tom. Do you have time for one more quick one?
Please.
Because I almost asked this morning. I think I think you're incredible. The conversation went great. We're recording this on July 5th. And I'm coming off, you were camping, I'm coming off a long weekend, and this morning my energy felt a little low. And as someone who's guested on 1,000+ and you're a CEO and you're just always speaking and networking and meeting people, how do you maintain your energy? How do you make sure you're not drained? And maybe you do go camping or have a long weekend. How do you get back in state? Totally a question just for me, Tom.
I'm going to give credit to the skipper of my first ship, Captain Bill Hayden. His call sign was T-Ball. And this guy never slept. He was always there. He was the biggest cheerleader. And I remember asking him one time, Skipper, how come you're always positive? How come you've got the energy? And he smiled at me and he said, because I set the tone for other people. And he said, someday I'm going to look back at this and realize this was such a great opportunity and I don't want to miss a minute of it. So from that, I got that it's a conscious decision, right? And I think in life, you can show up with the energy or you can choose to show up without it. And that's in your business, for your kids, for your community. And so I always try to do that.
It's a choice, guys. Tom, you've been amazing as expected. Thanks again for coming on the show.
Thank you, Ben.
Thanks again for listening to Learn, Speak, Teach, powered by Balbert Marketing, LLC. You need to go subscribe if you haven't yet. This show is completely free. If you gain value from the episode, personally share with a friend and explain your favorite part. Leave us a review on Apple, Google Podcasts, or anywhere you listen to the show. All right. Thanks once more for listening to LST. I am so grateful. Talk to you soon.